question for you today. Does doctrine matter? Well, first, the word doctrine means teaching. And Christ commanded his followers to go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20 from the Amplified Bible. So the answer is, of course doctrine matters. And that's why we want to focus on 2 John chapter 1, 9 through 10. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And verse 10 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor even greet him. Well, if you drift through the modern American churches, it will not take a long time to hear the echo of doctrine does not matter. It's not important. It just divides the church. Let's unite and show God's love. This new tolerance message proclaims all brothers are equal before God. And it's pride that demands one group or denomination is right, which then means it's condemning the others. Listen, John makes it biblical. True doctrine is supposed to divide. Look at verse 10 again. We are not talking about small issues that are not clearly defined in Scripture. We're talking about the plain truth of the Bible, literally written. In fact, our Lord has strong emotional feelings about wrong doctrine. In Revelation 2, 14 through 15, Jesus says, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Well, since Jesus Christ hates wrong doctrine, he warns those believers who do not care about his doctrine to repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That's Revelation 2:16. Doctrine is such an important issue with God. He warns us he will fight us if we do not carefully and fully follow his teaching. It seems doctrine's important, at least to God. Well, since John makes it clear in our text that anyone who does not live out the doctrine of Christ is going to hell, whether religious or not, believing and living out Christ's teaching is significant and non-optional. Back at verse 9, if you need to check. You would not know it, though, from our modern churches here in America. Excuse me. Barna research showed that just 9% of those adults claiming to be born again has a biblical worldview. This falls to 7% of Protestants in general. This is based on the doctrine that absolute moral truth exists and founded in six core beliefs in the Bible. Number one, the accuracy of Bible teaching. Number two, the sinless nature of the Lord Jesus. Number three, the literal existence of the devil. Four, the all-knowing and all-powerfulness of God Almighty. Number five, salvation by the mercy and grace of God alone. And six, the responsibility of each Christian to obey the great commission given to them by Jesus Christ. Using these core beliefs, this is further explored then through pastoral leadership. According to the research, Southern Baptist pastors are the most biblical of all of them at 71%. Other Baptist churches were next with 57% of their pastors biblical. Then followed non-denominational Protestant pastors at 51%, charismatic and Pentecostals at 44%, pastors of black congregations 35%, leading denominations 28%, and at the end was the Methodist with 27% of their leaders biblically following these six concepts. You can find more, I found it at Barna.org. The immoral choices then and the practices that you find in the majority of church attendees becomes clearly exposed when we start to unravel this information by research. Since the majority of pastors reject doctrinal truth, they do not call people to repentance and obedience to God's doctrinal standards. But Paul commands preachers to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Why? To change the way people act. And he warned of the day when religious people would clamor for less doctrine in the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he continues with these words, a warning, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. In fact, they'll be turned aside to fables. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 through 4. Well, since the research shows that less than 10% adult church members want to live biblical lives, pastors who rebuke and exhort their congregations to absolute truth and obedience, obviously they're not going to be popular, and many won't even have jobs. And that's exactly what Paul warned of 2,000 years ago. As the majority of pastors preach false comfort and eternal life without repentance and real obedience, people feel good about themselves, rejecting the absolute commands of Christ and His Word. The congregations live their lives satisfying their own desires and pleasures and feel comfortable and safe believing this fable that they're going to heaven too. This always starts on false ideas and teaching, and then it's lived out in lifestyle. This is seen in what is preached, but also in what is ignored from being preached. Does your pastor rebuke and exhort you on a regular basis? Or do you like, you know, your own desires, the quiet, encouraging type who just always is making things feel good about yourself and your life? For example, false doctrinal teaching about marriage, divorce, and sexual activity outside of marriage, you know, one man and one woman, throws stumbling blocks before this great nation. Broken homes permanently harm children emotionally and leave bitterness and frustration. The government pays out literally billions of dollars trying to support single moms and their children. Billions are spent on insurance and medical expenses for sexually transmitted diseases. Millions of babies are murdered through abortions. All this because people ignore God's loving commands protecting and providing life in a far better way. What would our country be like if people actually followed God's commands? Well, now I hope you can see that doctrine is important. It's essential. You know, doctrine is the foundation of life change. All scripture is given to us by God to change our lifestyles after we're born again in Christ. The apostles' doctrines, Acts 2:42, was based on Christ's commands, not suggestions given to us in Matthew 28:20. One of the earliest first century documents of the church is a pass around work called the Didache, which is the Greek word for doctrine. Paul commanded all Christians to change, beginning with filling your mind with, yes, right doctrine. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Excuse me again. And he explains in Titus to follow and teach the doctrine of Christ. He says, exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters. That means their authorities. To be well-pleasing in all things. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. In other words, he's worried about people going to heaven or going to hell. And he wants everyone to prove it by how they respond to people. Paul continues and explains the doctrine of Christ. It's given everywhere. It says, for by the grace of God that brings salvation, it has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, in other words, selfish desires, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Obviously, Paul says doctrine is so important. It's what brings us to a standing point where we have a path to walk in and a place where we can obey God and know what he actually expects and wants from us. Okay, well, that's plenty to get you thinking. Now, what steps should you take to please God right now? What should you begin with? How should you get there? Well, listen, first of all, I want to give you some pretty simple instructions here. First, if you're under the teaching of a pastor or a church that is not teaching the whole absolute truth of God, leave. Here's why. John said, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. I know, now you say, well, wait, I like my church. I know you're protesting because your friends and family are there. Or worse, you might have already decided the biblical church near you is boring, the music is dead, the pastor preaches way too long, or et cetera, whatever you don't like. Listen, repent. The Bible says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Look at it in Romans 16:17. These are not popular words, I know, but that is why you must become a narrow road follower of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Next then, my call to you is to join a biblical church. Take responsibility. The Bible says, be careful to maintain good works. The people of your city are going to hell. It's not what you like that matters. Join a team of believers who are fulfilling God's purposes and get busy fulfilling the doctrine of Christ. For more answers, go straight to the book, the Bible. Thank you for listening to Straight Talk for Narrow Road Followers of Jesus, and I hope you will dig deep into his word. I hope to connect to you again soon. God bless.